Hey, hi. Oh, is this a microphone? Do I talk into this? Yes, hi. It's been a couple weeks. Welcome back to the best show. In fact, I should say welcome back to myself, if anybody's back. It's me. I'm back here away for a week because of sickness. Another week for professional purposes, professional obligations. Back again. This is not how I planned it to go, but you know what? The past is the past, baby, and we're standing right here in the present, and the best show is the best present you could ever get. So unwrap it, sit back, relax, get out whatever you got to get out. A little bit of the old, you know what I mean? The old... You gotta get that out to enhance your enjoyment of the show, then get it out. Well, then, whatever your is, go get it now, whether it be Diet Dr. Pepper or the hard stuff. No judgments. Well, some judgments. There's a few things you shouldn't be doing. But other than that, you shouldn't be drinking Diet Dr. Pepper, first of all. This stuff's terrible for you. You kidding? It's like poison. Stuff's like poison, but you know what's not poison? The sound of the best show hitting your ears. It's the most healing thing you could ever dream of. So let's get to it. Here's the best show, my friends. Let's go! The phone number, 201-332-3484. Best show time. Welcome back to the best show. My name's Tom. I'm the host of tonight's episode. Tom Sharpling here at your service. The phone number 201-332-3484. What's up, everybody? I'm kind of pulling it together here. I'm a little out of sorts. But we're doing what we do. We just heard from Helium from their debut long player. No, no, from their second album. Not from their first album. What's wrong with me? Ugh. From Magic City, Leon Space Song. Reissued on Matador Records last year. Can't beat that with a stick, man. All the Helium records reissued. They're all back in print. I saw Helium. Saw Helium last week. Now you're saying to yourself, Tom, how did you see Helium last week? You're in New Jersey. They played, they're on a West Coast tour that they're currently probably in the final stages of right now. Well, it's simple. I saw them on the West Coast. Lipstick City, baby. Los Angeles. I was there. They were there. I was there. I was there for work. Happened to cross paths with my friends. My friend Mary Timoney. That's right. My friend. Sorry. Yeah. Must be nice. Yeah, it is. Super cool. It's guitar god, first of all. Not guitar goddess. No, she's, I'm not gonna, she's god slash goddess. It don't matter. I'm gonna put nobody else against that. She put whatever category. She'll crush anybody. I go see this thing, right? And they're playing these songs. It's like, it's prog rock what they're doing. They're laying it out. Prog rock. Robert Fripp would be like, It was like if he got out of his chair. That's what it was like. It's like watching like they were doing that stuff, but with like a starting off as like a rock group. Yeah, it's heavy duty, man. I'm telling you. I'm messing around. What do you think? This is a joke? Think they're down there to do a comedy routine? You think they're on stage? What do you think? This Flight of Conchords are on stage doing comedy? Think it's a Weird Al concert? No. It's not Tenacious D. It's not Mark Russell. What do you think? I'm out there watching the Capitol Steps? Comedy thing? No. Because it's Mary and then the other guitar player, Nicole, and they're just like locked in. They're going into outer space with this thing. Then two songs later, they're jamming on this thing. You'd think it was Lynyrd Skynyrd up there. It was like Southern rock all of a sudden. And by the way, and we are, yeah, Pat. Please don't order that food anymore. That's all. Just respectfully. With respect. Because the food is gone. But the smell lives on. Okay, and I'm not... Well, if you're still eating it, I'm not going to talk about what it's evoking. That's not fair. But let me just say to you... Yeah, this Helium thing. Man, that's heavy duty. They're not messing around. Showing everybody how it's done. So that was nice. I was in Los Angeles. Got to see that. Got to see them. And, yeah, we'll play more from them maybe later tonight or more from someone else. We got our pick of what we want to do here. Oh, the phone number 201-332-3484. Tonight we have Pat and we have Dudio and... Mike is not here. Mike is dealing with personal stuff, real life stuff, and just, he's very much missed, and, now I love him, so I hope he's okay. I'm always thinking of you, Mike. Later in the show, Andrew Sandoval, our friend of the show, guy does the show on WFMU? Pat? Did he or does he? He does. playing great music from the 60s, Come to the Sunshine. He's been on the show before. And he's going to come on tonight to talk about some Monkees news, because he is the producer of their tours. So we'll get hopefully some exclusive lowdown on what's what. Off to the phones. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
It's going all right. To whom am I speaking?
I'm Daniel in Northern Virginia.
Daniel in Northern Virginia, what's up?
Hey, well, I was hoping to get a suggestion from you.
Studio country.
I'm kind of an aspiring radio personality myself.
Northern Virginia, okay. Well, strike one. You're not listening to the show you're calling. You're talking over me.
I'm sorry about that.
Let's have a conversation, my friend. What's your name again?
Daniel from Northern Virginia.
Daniel from Northern Virginia. And as I was saying, that's Dudio country.
Oh, yeah. Northern. Where is he from out here?
He's saying it's Southwest Virginia, so it's not Dudio country.
Okay.
He hates North Virginia and the people in it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually a new resident out here, it's rough.
All right. So you're on Dudio's side then. Dudio hates your kind. So Daniel, what kind of radio are you looking to do? What's this all about? What do you want to do? A podcast?
Well, I gotta say, I'm pretty new to listening to the Best Show. Probably only been listening for a couple months now, and I feel like I've kind of been accidentally ripping you off a little bit.
Yeah.
With what you've done. I used to do a show in college.
You know, one thing you're not listening to is me when I talk. Just jump all over me. It's bad radio, my friend. Bad radio. Come on, Daniel.
I agree.
Don't be afraid to add a little pause in. Yeah. What do you got to be somewhere?
No, I guess I'm just a little nervous.
You ever go to a restaurant and they start clearing the plates a little too fast?
Absolutely.
And it's not fun, right? You'll be like, oh, no, I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
What do you got? Are you trying to fill up the dishwasher? You got to load? You're one dish away from a full load. You got to close it out there. No, that's what you're doing. That you're doing the conversational equivalent of that.
I agree.
You're taking the dishes away. So write this down.
Okay.
Don't take the dishes away too quickly.
All right. Got it written down.
All right.
Got a Word document open here.
So what do you want to do? You've been doing a radio show already, and you're stealing from this show.
Yeah.
So
accidentally.
It's not accidental. If you're saying it out loud, it's clearly not accidental. It's okay. I'm not judging you. Look, it's like pizza. You steal from the rest, now you steal from the best. Join the club. I can't throw a rock without hearing a podcast that's taken elements of the show. And that's okay, because I took elements of other people when it's the continuum. That's what we're on, the continuum. So,
right.
What elements are you taking from this show?
Well, I used to do a show in college, and I used to do open it up to the phone lines, let the people call in, do some silly little bits and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Bits here. So these are silly bits. So you're just copying the silly bits we do.
I'm saying that my bits were silly, but obviously yours are at a superior level.
So what's the goal? What's the goal, my friend? What are we looking to get? What's the point of this call? Guide
I was
me.
Hoping to get
help me help
a musical
you.
Recommend. Sorry.
Help me help you. What do you want? You want to get a musical recommendation? Roxy Music.
Yeah, I'm kind of in a rut.
There you go. Roxy Music. Best Show. Hello, okay. Best Show. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Ben Seitz from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Who?
Ben Seitz.
What? Ben Sheets.
Ben Seitz.
Ben Seitz?
Like you sit on, yeah.
Okay. Welcome, Ben Seitz. To what do I owe the pleasure of your calling tonight?
I was wondering if you saw the Twitter thing of the kid who was going into surgery today, and he said Best Show for going into surgery.
I did not. He said well, best show before he went into surgery?
Yeah, yeah. My dad was, like, taking a video, and he posted it on Twitter, and you guys retweeted it saying, I hope your surgery goes well.
All right, well, let me see this now, because I didn't say that. And not that I'm wishing this kid's surgery doesn't go well. I just didn't see this yet. Let's see. Where is this kid? What's this kid's name? Let's see here. Okay, well, let's see. Here's the kid right there. He's got a laptop open. Funeral Clown. Is that the kid?
Yeah, that's my dad's Twitter.
Wait, that's you?
Yes.
You had surgery today?
Yes, I did, sir.
And you're calling?
Yes.
Well, first of all, it's great to see from this one picture that you're following doctor's orders and loading up on Lay's potato chips right out of your post-op routine.
That was a while back, okay. I think. I think you took that picture because I had the sticker.
Yeah, because I'm looking. This picture looks like you got a cast on your leg or something.
Yes.
Is that what you had? What surgery did you? What's your name, young man?
Ben Seitz.
That's right, Ben. Let me write this down. Ben.
Okay.
Seitz. First of all, I'm sorry if I was aggressive to you. I didn't realize you were.
Oh no, sir. I'm just happy to be on the show.
All right, I'm glad. Look, I'm glad you're with me, buddy. I'm glad you're with me.
Yeah.
So what happened? You had surgery today.
Yes, I had foot surgery. A lot of things happened, complicated words. I don't remember. But it's kind of, I've had it since birth. It's on both of my feet, and it's just kind of deformity in the muscles and bones where it, over time, putting pressure on it has caused it to be harmful to me.
Okay.
And it's just painful to walk. So we came to...
Some corrective surgery today? Corrective? Like kind of is it going to be one of many surgeries or is this the big one?
We got the left foot done today.
Okay.
And we're doing the right foot after I fully recover from this one.
Okay.
Which will take about 3 months and then we'll wait a little bit before we do the right one.
Mm-hmm. How you feeling, champ?
I'm feeling pretty great. Right now it's not hurting a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think calling onto the best show is kind of making my day a whole lot better.
That's what a lot of people say. It's very healing, the show.
Yes.
And I've heard that a lot of anesthesiologists are considering pumping the best show into your ears instead of actual anesthesia before surgery.
You know, I think that would work because sometimes I listen to the best show when I go into sleep, and it helps.
Well, that's
not that it's boring.
No, don't worry. I'm not that. Look. I'm not judging you by the same standard I judge these other animals by.
Oh, yeah.
You're off the hook,
Daniel.
You're off the hook. You got surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cutting you a wide berth tonight.
Sweet.
So how long are you laid up for, kid? I'm going to call you kid.
I've been here basically all day.
Okay.
We came back from the hospital. I'm just on my couch with my dad and my mom listening to the best show.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hey, let's call in. They retweeted this today. And sure enough, put me on hold, and I get to talk to Tom.
Yeah, here you are, talking to Tom.
Yeah.
So when are you back up on your feet? How long?
It's going to be a long time. I can walk on crutches right now just to get from place to place because only one of my feet is injured. But I think it's going to be a while till I'm actually on my feet. We have to do physical therapy and whatnot.
Sure.
Looking forward to that.
What if you see a murderer out of the window? What's going to happen then, though? Think about that. You're sitting all alone. Your dad, funeral clown, is out running errands, right?
Yes.
What's that about, funeral clown?
I don't know. That's just my dad. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
He really likes your show, too.
Well,
he's who got me into it.
Well, that's nice. So I'll ease up on him. I got to be easing up on everybody today.
Oh, it's okay. He'd love to be made fun of.
I got to tiptoe. Now I got to tiptoe around Funeral Clown. Make sure I don't upset him. But picture this. Funeral Clown's out and about. He's running errands.
Yes.
You're sitting just staring out the window, right?
Yes.
And then you look out, you look across at your neighbor's window like you're wont to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you see your neighbor. He's playing he's got like his Switch hooked up to his flat screen, right?
Yes.
So he's playing Splatoon, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then you see a guy come in. Your neighbor doesn't see him. There's a creep coming through right behind him.
Yeah.
He starts strangling him. You're screaming, no, no, look out, right?
Well, depends which neighbor.
But then suddenly the creep sees you, see him.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
He looks at you. And then he does that thing that Robert De Niro does that's kind of run into the ground, the point at your eyes, point at the other person, point back. You know that thing? He does that thing. It's that very tired device for saying, I'm watching you. Right?
Like I'm next.
Yeah, you're next. Then the power goes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the power goes out. Then suddenly, Funeral Clown comes home.
Yes.
With a bag full of, what's he going to have a bag full? Clearly a bag full of Lay's potato chips. That's what he's feeding his child post-opera. That's the post-op diet he's provided for his child is a pile of potato chips.
That's basically all I get.
And I think it looks like, what else? Are you drinking maple syrup in that picture?
I'm drinking Gatorade right now.
Yeah, it's Gatorade.
It's a rare treat.
I thought it was like a jar of maple syrup and potato chips.
If I'm lucky enough to get maple syrup, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. All right, I don't like that laugh. That sounds Funeral Clown.
Yeah, that's Funeral Clown.
He's hooping it. He's whooping it up a little bit too much back there.
Yeah.
Tell him to click it. Tell him. Say to him, hey, Funeral Clown, click it down a notch.
Hey, Funeral Clown, click it down a notch. That's what Tom said. He says he'll take it down.
All right. Well, look, my friend, I'm glad you're okay. Keep me in the loop for what's going on with you, and call and let me know how you're doing.
Indeed. Thank you so
Shoot
much.
Me an email. Shoot me an email.
Shoot you an email?
Yeah, do that.
Okay.
Mike, feel better. Best show, hi.
Oh, hi. Sorry.
That's all right. Hi.
Hi, this is Mary from Lansdale, PA.
Mary from Lansdale, PA. What's up, Mary?
Well, I have a brief story that actually has to do kind of with the best show.
All right. Am I gonna like this story? Or am I going to be sad when I hear this story?
I think of it as bittersweet.
Bittersweet.
Maybe.
So now I'm ready to have my feelings hurt.
No,
not the best. Don't worry. I'm not putting any, like, if my feelings get hurt, so be it. I step up. You know what I do? I get in the dunk tank here on Tuesdays. Once in a while, someone's going to throw the baseball. It's going to knock me in the water.
Not like that at all.
Well, Mary, you go ahead. I'm champing at the bit to hear this story.
Well, long story short, apparently some water seeped into my basement.
And I want to say, first of all, you verified that you are indeed from Lansdale, PA, because you said some water
did
seeped into your basement. Yeah, so I'm clear. Don't worry. Now I'm not concerned that you're trying to trick me calling from somewhere that's not Lansdale, PA. You're like, let me tell the story. First of all, some water seeped into my basement. So within four words, you could not have verified your location any more than you just did.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, no. Don't worry. I get these people get on me about, they say, you got the New Jersey accent. I'm like, what? And then I guess I do. But it's not like I'm walking around going, hey, yo, like I'm not talking right. Like that. But it's
exactly.
Like.
Exactly.
And we've talked about this before. Rocky talks like he's from New York, not Philly.
Yeah. Right? That's always bothered me.
Yeah. Because he should just be like, he should be down there going like, I just want a chance. Like, he should sound like Philly Boy Roy saying the stuff, not just like, hey, you. She'd be like, yo, Adrian. Like, he should sound like Philly Boy Roy. Not like,
right.
Hey, yo, Adrian.
Exactly. I love the Rocky movies. I absolutely love them. But, like, his accent, I'm just, oh.
Rank the Rocky movies, if you can. 1 through 5 plus. No, 1 through 6. There's 6.
Yeah.
There's well, 5. There's 1 through 5 plus Rocky Balboa plus Creed.
Right. Okay.
I'll rank for mine. Me, I'm going to write mine down also. You go with yours.
Okay. For me, it goes Rocky, Creed,
yes.
Rocky
yes.
2,
yes.
Rocky Balboa, Rocky 3, Rocky 4, Rocky 5.
Well, I got to say, Mary, you and I are almost on the same exact page with this. I might have put 3 ahead of 2. I might have put 3 ahead of Balboa. But other
fair
than
enough.
That, yeah, but other than that, mm. You're right on the money. First of all, who's texting you? What is that? Was that
oh, yeah.
You, is that an email?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think like my Twitter is blowing up.
These
sorry about that.
They can't wait to drop you a line until you're off the call.
Yeah, I know.
You know what? It means they like you. There's worse things.
Well, that's true. Well, awesome. And that's actually kind of part of why.
Okay, let's go back to
my call.
So you go down. Some water seeped into your basement.
Yeah, and it ended up seeping into a stereo cabinet.
Oh no!
That was made of press board, and ruined a bunch of my records.
Oh no! What record got ruined?
Oh God! Some of our the thing is, this is like where we kept our favorite records because we inherited a pool table. Mm-hmm. So we would go into the basement and shoot pool and listen to records.
I just this was not one of those scenarios where you're sitting in the lawyer's office and they're just saying, "Okay, here's got everything." It's like my money totaling $18.5 million goes to Keith. And I am bequeathing the pool table to Mary.
Not quite. Not okay. Quite, thankfully.
All right. No. So you have a pool table.
Yeah. It was my husband's aunt's. And okay. It was one of those, you know. Well, anyway.
So the water seeps in.
The water seeps in, and it got into, like, we didn't realize there would be, like, a crack under where the stereo cabinet was.
Mm-hmm.
So the water seeped into the cabinet. And I mean, it just soaked it up like a sponge up into the records. So
what's the worst? What's your favorite record that got ruined?
Oh my God! Enough, because I've been going on about this. I had an a 1972 pressing of Ziggy Stardust that I had bought for $1 at a farmer's market.
Yeah.
And I bought it when I was 15, and I played it all summer. I've played it so many times since, and like. For as many times as I've played this record, mm-hmm. It should be completely unlistenable, but mm-hmm. It still sounded great.
Yeah.
And now it's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
So it's all stuff like that, you know.
Well, it's a record. You'll find a nice copy of it at some point that'll take the place of that one. You had a good friend with that record. I know what that's like.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, that's just it. So I complained about this on Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And other people I've made friends with through listening to the best show and, you know, being stupid on Twitter, they all started like messaging me and, you know, saying, you know, basically giving me kind of a shoulder to cry on. And one friend who goes on Twitter as Graham Friday said, go listen to the show when Tom's basement flooded from Hurricane Irene.
Yeah.
And Yeah, that was cathartic.
Yeah, there went all my stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst. No, it's
nowhere near as bad as that. Nowhere near as bad as that. But
look, I'm fine. It was just stuff. Look, it was my, like I said, it was my stuff, but it was just stuff. You get new I'll say this. You're in America. You're yep. You're on the right side of the economy, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You're not somebody who's looking for heat or food.
No, I'm very lucky.
You're okay.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of stuff. We get absolutely. More stuff on this side of the street. Like,
yes.
Stuff is not the problem for most people.
No, it's the memories.
It
of,
is. No,
and,
I'm also not minimizing it either. I'm also not it's like,
yeah.
You will get more stuff. It sucks, mm-hmm. but stuff comes back to your, it comes knocking on your door before you know it.
Absolutely.
It's my favorite Monkey song. When stuff comes knocking on your door. Remember that? No.
I actually don't know that one.
I think I'm paraphrasing with that. So, Mary, let's talk about the big news down there in Philly. The grease poles. Right?
Oh, yeah. That was, because I was at the parade, too.
You were at the parade. How was that?
Oh, yeah.
Testament to all the best that Philadelphia has to offer. I liked when
it sure was.
I liked for the week when people were just like, there's a week where people saying like when the people of Philly were feeling their oats a little bit, and they're saying nobody gets made fun of more than the people. It's like, well, first of all, you might want to check out a place called the South.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they tend to take it on the chin a little harder than Philly in terms
yes.
of things. But then when when that one lunatic went up there dressed like a mummer, right? And he starts he starts that chant F. It's like, yeah, there we go. There goes the high ground right there.
Well,
he's seeding the high ground.
My mother loved it.
No, no, look, it was great, but it's also like,
oh,
you
yeah.
kind of are ceding the high ground here, into the oh. moral high ground in terms of how Philly gets misunderstood.
Yes. Like, oh, yeah, there's no defense here.
Oh,
there's
no
defense here.
Yeah. It's indefensible with that. But if you want to try to make like Philly's getting some bum rap in terms of people identifying people from Philly, it's like, look, and I love Philly. I love it. I go to see a show. A band's playing in New York, and they're playing Philly. I go to Philly. I don't want to go to New York.
Yeah.
I have to see them there. I'd say, so virtually equidistant for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Philly. Park at $6. $6 to park. Or you get street parking.
Yeah. You can actually do that down here.
Yeah. You can hang out, and it's not a giant thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a relaxed city.
It is a relaxed city. I just hope that Philly...
You know.
Imagine this. Say the Eagles win the Super Bowl again.
Oh no.
Just imagine the tood that's going to start to show up. Be like,
oh,
yeah,
we're immovable now.
We're the greatest down here. Yeah, like when that swagger starts to... If the swagger becomes a little more like permanent... Oh, that's going to be the worst to just see, like, Philly. Yeah, it's kind of it's kind of where the champions live. Oh, I won't that.
No, this is not going to be good.
Just imagine this next Mummers parade.
Oh,
what that's
going
to be like.
Oh, that's going to be a nightmare.
And just imagine, you know what the next thing that happens is? People jumping on the bandwagon. That happens next. People who you never saw in your whole life identifying as being lovers of Philly are suddenly going to be showing up. I love Philly. All the stuff there,
like
the cheesesteaks and the pretzels.
No.
I love it.
Oh, no. But that's like when they showed the Empire State Building lit up in green when they won. I'm just thinking, that doesn't seem right.
No, that made me nauseous when I saw that.
Yeah, like,
who cares?
That shouldn't be.
They should have the Empire State Building. Whoever's running that should have done a giant middle finger facing Philadelphia, saying like, "Game on." We'll get you next time. You ever notice it also, because that one dude lost that guy Tom Brady, right? He's in the Super Bowl. He's the Mr. Perfect, right? And listen to the disgust in your voice when I say Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But he's only lost, like, he only loses to, like, mutants. Like, that guy Nick Foles.
We're proud mutants.
I mean, that guy Nick Foles, this guy, it looks like he's, this is not, he's not going to be mistaken for a male model the way Tom Brady is.
No, he looks like he should be working for NPR, actually.
Yeah, hosing down Leonard Lopate's windowless van.
Oh, no.
So, but then you got the other guy who beat him is Eli Manning, who's like he's like the guy for the Giants. This guy looks like he shouldn't even be allowed to see a football game, let alone. Like, it looks like he'd be in the stands at a Giants game and would get shoved around. And, like, picked on by, like, people in the stands. But he's on the field. He sat this dude down twice. Then that other guy, Nick Foles, sat him down. He only loses to guys like that.
Yeah. It's kind of great.
But just imagine. Yeah, it is great. Imagine how he's haunted by that. These nerds are beating him, right? He's losing to nerds.
That's, like, the best thing, though, you know?
Oh, no, he can't but you know must keep him up at night. He's like,
yeah.
How am I losing these nerds? These nerds keep beating me. I play a cool guy. Cool guy, beat the cool guy every time. These nerds.
Mm-hmm.
Nerds.
It's a Hollywood movie.
It is a Hollywood movie. Well, Mary, let me say to you, thank you for calling, and I'll say something that will make you feel at home. How's that? How make you feel?
Thanks. Good night.
All right. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye. Nice, nice call there from Mary. So, yeah, I was in I was in Los Angeles, Hollywood. Walk of Fame, baby, right? Check out all those stars. I love those names. Looking at them. Ed Asner. There's Ed Asner. Oh, who else is there? Oh, wow, Ed McMahon. Wow, Hollywood is the best, right? Bring my tracing paper and kind of scribble it out there. Bring home little tracing scrap, whatever you call that, of all of the stars I like. So, yeah. I was out there working. I had a job. I was working. Well, first of all, speaking of the Super Bowl, I'm watching the Super Bowl. And then just like the next day, I don't feel so hot, right? It's like, ooh, brother, what's going on? Yeah, the flu, rolling through. Flu fever, catch it. I caught it. I have not been that sick in so long with the flu. I'm telling you, that laid me out hard, that thing. Knocked me out. I was like, am I even going to make this trip? Because the goal was, look, we missed two best show up. I was not planning on that. I was not planning on A, missing the show because of the flu. And then B, I was going to pre-record a show to have a new show go up while I was on the trip. So I didn't get to do neither of those. Because of the flu. Then I go to L.A. I didn't see a lot of people. It was a work trip. If you're from L.A. and I get to see, I'm sorry. I saw a few people. It was work. There for work. I was also not feeling great. I was recovering from the flu. So I was kind of laying around. Any chance I got, I just laid there.
a bump on a log. What was I there for? I filmed a commercial. I filmed a commercial. I did not act. I directed a commercial. What commercial? I can't say. Let's just say it has a basketball player in it, though. That's what I will say. Yeah, had a basketball player in it. Legendary player. Had a good conversation with the guy. Hit it off. Yeah. That's right. Top 75 player of all time. Yeah, I was talking to him. Yeah, we're. Look, I'm not going to be hanging out with this guy anytime soon. But it was a nice day. Nice day. He's a good guy. Got to record Hollywood Handbook when I was there, which came out today. So, check that out. Another good episode with the dudes, Hayes and Sean. Then I saw Phantom Thread in the movie theater again, 70mm, all by myself. No one was in the theater. It's like a private 70mm screening. That's maybe my favorite movie. That's one of my favorite movies ever, that movie. I'm telling you. That's a great movie. You see that movie, Pat? Phantom Thread. You saw I, Tonya instead. How was that? Yeah. Yeah, I don't like it. I call it I, Tonya. Right? You see Phantom Thread, Dudio? Not yet. Got the screener. Just how Paul Thomas Anderson wanted it to be seen. With the movie studio logo splashing across it every 15 minutes. Just the way he envisioned it. With a screener. And look, now I see this Andy Kindler. He's tweeting. He's saying, oh, there's that. He's tweeting when I said that on the show. That's what he's doing. I wish I got to see the Andy Kindlers of Los Angeles when I was there. I was working. I had time to go out for work, record a podcast, shoot a commercial, walk from my hotel, go see Mary Timoney live in concert, get back on the plane, go home, man. At Doug Weston's Troubadour. Who's this Doug Weston? And what, he bought the Troubadour and he had to slap his name in front? Is there a fake Troubadour out there? This guy's worried. Doug Weston's Troubadour. What kind of ego trip you on where you got to see? And this is coming from the guy whose show is called The Best Show. Talking about ego trips. Doug Weston's The Troubadour. I'm going to ask Andrew Sandoval about that when he calls in. To talk about the monkeys. He's got monkeys news to tell us. So I'm taking a car back to the airport, right? That's right. A car. They sent a car. I get in this thing. I'm so tired. And I'm ready to go home. And this the driver, the old timer, right? Old timer. He's flapping his lips, talking. And I'm just saying to myself, oh, please don't talk the whole way to the airport. But I'm talking to him. Nice enough guy. He's moaning about young people. Because we passed a store with a line around the block, and it was like a skateboard store. Like they're selling a new deck. And the kids are all lined up waiting to get their skateboards. And then he started saying about skateboards, how like the kids these days and skateboards. It's like it was almost a parody of what an old timer would complain about. Skateboards. So I'm like, he's talking, but then all of a sudden this guy says, he said the magic words. He said the magic words. What were the magic words? I was Vin Diesel's personal driver for 13 years. Suddenly I was like, hey, he's up on the gas on that. We can get to the airport in due time. Let's hear about that. Look, he didn't exactly open the vault. Did tell me Vin is short arms and long pockets. It's tightwad. Good old-fashioned cheapskate. Gave him a Christmas bonus 1 year. Out of 13. Also, Vin doesn't like to let the drivers use the restroom in his house. If they have to do certain business, they can go in the bushes. More intensive toilet activities, they got to get in the car and drive down to the hotel at the bottom of the hill. Won't let you in. Won't let you in. Is Vin Diesel going to take this Fast and Furious money with him? Can't throw this guy some money? This guy's driving him every day. Then he starts telling me who else he drove. Bob Hope. He drove Bob Hope. Said he was a great man. Rod Stewart, he drove. Tony Bennett. Then he started telling me Tom Brady. He said he drove Tom Brady. Then he told me this one thing, and it's one of those ones, it's like a story that you start to hear and you're just kind of like, I don't know if any of these guys' stories are true, because this one doesn't sound accurate. You know when somebody starts, like, laying the facts out on a thing, and then you're just like, yeah, I think I can poke holes in this story. Does that make all the other stories suspect? Because he starts telling me this story about how he goes to pick someone up. He said the year was 1995. He's telling me, like, he's building this thing up. Unless he got the year wrong. He's like, I go to pick someone up, this recording artist over at the old A&M studios. And I'm driving, like, this is when he started out driving, and he's, like, driving a car that was, so it wasn't a fancy car at that point. And he picks up this artist, and they sent the smaller car because it's like, yeah, she's nothing. That's what they said. And he said she got up front and she rode in the car next to me in the passenger seat. And who did that turn out to be? Madonna. And I'm just saying to myself, 1985, that's a little late for Madonna. Like a Virgin was 84. I don't think anybody was saying, she's nothing. She already had, like, huge hit. Huge hits at that point. Lucky Star. She's nothing. But look, I choose to believe the stories. So then we fly out on Saturday, and then naturally we're about to land at Newark Airport. And then the pilot's like, we're going to have to land the plane in Cleveland. What? The snow coming down. So we get stuck on the runway in Cleveland. It took all night to get home. But we got home. Look, I got there. I'm home. I'll take it. That's how it goes sometimes. Don't break exactly how you want. So be it. But it was a good trip. Good work. Saw a few people. It was fun. I'm sorry if I didn't get to see you. I'll be back. Can't keep me away from Lipstick City. Best show. Hi. Hello, hi.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi, who is this?
Who is this? It's Tom, who you called.
Okay, I wanted to make sure I had the right person.
What, do you think it's a trick?
No, I don't think it's a trick.
Well, it's me. Who's this?
Okay, this is Shannon in the Bronx.
Shannon in the Bronx. What's going on tonight, Shannon?
Not much. I've been on hold for like almost 40 minutes.
Well, now you're really on the nervous. Show. Well, take it easy. You're talking to me. We're going to have a great conversation. What's going on?
I don't know. I mean, I wanted to ask you a few questions. After hearing you went to see Helium, was it?
Uh-huh.
Or Mary Timony?
It was Mary Timony plays. It was Mary Timony plays Helium.
Plays Helium.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any other shows that you're looking forward to going to and or seeing? In the near future.
Off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of any specifically. Why? What should I be looking? Is there one you're looking forward to?
There's not. I haven't been looking any up because I can't really afford to go to any right now.
Who would you like to see? What's the best show you ever saw, Shannon?
Who would I like to see? God, I don't know. I mean, I've been looking at the festival lineups for this year.
Yeah.
And I'm not wild about any of them, but I think I saw one in, it might have been in like Nashville or somewhere in Tennessee.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of electronic acts. Personally, I think someone I would see right now, do you know Laurel Halo?
Laurel Halo, no, I don't.
You don't? I suggest you listen to her. She's really? Pretty good.
What does Laurel Halo sound like?
She does kind of techno, experimental, ambient stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know if you're into that. I know you're into like prog rock.
I like also, did you like that Kelly, did you like the Kelly Lee Owens record from last year?
I did. Yeah. I wasn't like thrilled by it, but it was good.
Well, I liked it. I might have probably liked it more than you did, but maybe this Laurel Halo record will wipe it from my memory.
Yeah, listen to Dust, I think, is her most recent.
I'm going to listen to all of it.
Listen to all of it, I'm telling you.
All right. What else is going on, Shannon?
Okay, I also had another question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever been to Scotland, in particular Edinburgh?
No, I haven't.
You haven't?
No. Should I?
That kind of raised my question.
You mean to do, what, am I supposed to do like a festival there or something?
No, I don't know. I think they have a comedy festival there. That's not what I was asking, though. I will be there next month.
Okay.
And I was going to ask for suggestions on where to go, but you never been.
I don't know. Go check out the gift shop at the airport. How's that?
No, I don't like that suggestion.
Go check out their McDonald's. That's a Scottish restaurant.
No, right? I don't think so. I think you're messing with me.
McDonald's. Yes. Check it out. It's fine Scottish cuisine.
I don't know.
What are you going there for? Just for a vacation? Or are you going...
I'm there for work. For a week.
Work?
So,
well, you must have your job flying you to Scotland. What kind of work is it?
It's top secret. I can't disclose.
Okay, well, you don't have to be super specific with it. What field is it?
What field?
Yeah, is it
public relations?
Public relations.
Well,
is it with a famous person?
No. It's like branding, like advertising.
Oh,
I guess you would say.
Sure. I gotcha. That's
fun,
though.
I'm not thrilled about my job.
How long will you be there? How long will you be there?
A week.
Okay. That'll be fun, right?
It'll be fun. When I'm not working, it'll be fun.
The goal is to make it fun when you are working.
I know. I can't seem to figure that one out quite yet.
Yeah, you know what you need to do is you got to start drinking early in the day. That'll do it.
No. I was just thinking about going to a meeting in order to not do that.
Uh-huh. To not drink.
In order to not do any substance.
Yeah, well, that's probably going to... I would say you should do that rather than the advice I just gave. If you're thinking of going to a meeting to not do anything, do that instead of showing up to work drunk, which was my suggestion. I think you're more...
Have you done that?
Have I shown up to work drunk? No, I wouldn't do that. It was a joke.
But you told me that.
It's a comedy thing.
All right, relax.
I am relaxed, Shannon.
All right. I'm not going to start day drinking.
I'm as cool as one of those My Pillows.
I don't think I've ever had one of those.
Do you know the pillows I'm talking about?
No.
There's that guy who makes pillows and he sells them on TV.
When was this?
It's right now, but you probably cut the cord. You don't know this stuff.
I cut the cord because I'm like a young person.
Because I'm not a young person is why I'm saying it. I didn't cut the cord.
Do you still watch commercials?
Yeah, why not? I learned new things. Like My Pillow.
My Pillow?
Yes, My Pillow.
You have one of those.
I don't. I'm hoping Santa will bring me one.
That's on your wish list?
It is. It's on my Christmas list. I'm trying to be as good as I can, and I'm hoping Santa will bring me a My Pillow.
I'd say good luck with that. I mean...
Well... Your lips to Santa's ears.
This is crazy. I can't believe it.
Well, Shannon, when is this trip?
I think I leave on the 20th of March.
Okay. So you've got some time.
Any advice at all for traveling? I don't fly too often.
Okay, well, do you need any sort of special meal?
No.
Okay. Because if you do, you want to put that request in early.
I don't. Like, you mean vegetarian or something?
Yes. Something like that.
I don't have a preference.
All right. So then you take what they give you. That's fine. If you're cool with that, then that'll work. Where are you sitting? Do you have an aisle seat?
I haven't looked at the map. Well,
these are the kind of things you want to start nailing down early while no one else has done it. Get the seat you want.
Maybe I could change it.
Yeah, get the seat you want, Shannon.
I need an aisle seat. I know everyone likes the window seat, but you feel too cramped.
Window seats suck. You don't want that.
All right. I mean, sometimes the view's nice, but...
what are you going to look at, a cloud?
It can be kind of relaxing. I don't know.
Well, Shannon, you sit... If you want a window seat, lock it down now. You want an aisle seat, lock it down now. You have the luxury. You got a month to go.
True. Well, this is decent advice.
All right.
I suppose.
I am a humble servant here to give you travel advice.
Fantastic.
All right. You have a great night.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Okay. Let's go to the hotline. I'm being told to go to the hotline. We have a very powerful person on the hotline right now. Is this Andrew on the hotline?
This is Andrew Sandoval calling you, Tom Sharpling.
It's Andrew Sandoval on the hotline, the legit, this is like a legit mover and shaker in the music biz. There's frauds that come along, flashes in the pan. But the ones who just stay and they keep getting it done, this is one of those people who just do. He's not going anywhere.
I just won't go away. That's
no,
my thing.
It's like a bad penny. You can't get rid of this guy no matter what you do.
Been left on the street, on the sidewalks, waiting to be picked up one more time.
Fold, you close your record label, you go out of business. No, he's still there. The industry's falling apart. There's only one thing standing, the Capitol building and Andrew Sandoval.
Damn straight.
So, Andrew, people know you. We've talked over the years. You are a producer and a guy who, you're an author, and you do, you've put box sets together. You were responsible for one of my all-time favorite packages, which was the LA Nuggets, right? Is that correct?
That's correct. Where the Action Is, Los Angeles Nuggets, 1965 to 1968.
All-time classic collection. If you ever want to take a crash course in L.A. 60s rock, there's one record you can get, and that'll catch you up on all of it. You also, though, are known for your love of the Bee Gees. You wrote a book where you went day by day through the Bee Gees, through like a 10-year period.
In excruciating detail, yes.
Yes. So if you were wondering what Barry Gibb was doing on August 17th, 1969, Andrew can tell you.
Well, I'd have to look it up in my book, but yes, theoretically, I could tell you.
Look, I would be terrified if you said it off the top of your head. That would be troubling. And there'd be a larger issue here that we need to talk about. Or we should just go to a casino then. And you could count cards.
There you go. Well,
but
not much of a gambler.
No.
Other than coming on your show.
Well, that's nice. It is a little bit of a gamble. You're sliding all the chips in the middle. And these chips today, these chips have two faces on them. One is the face of Michael Nesmith, and the other chip is the face of George Michael Dolenz. Because this guy puts tours together. He's a tour manager. He puts these Monkees tours together and all these things with these Monkees guys. And he's got a new one coming. Right?
The Monkees present Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz on tour in June for 16 fabulous dates across the United States, plus two shows in Canada, which promised to be Michael Nesmith's first concerts as a Monkee since 1969.
Just imagine this. So hold on. Mike Nesmith, Mickey Dolenz, together, touring all over. And you're running the show. You're making sure you keep it honest is what I like. You keep it honest. You know what people want to see, and you know how what these guys want to do, and you manage to meld all of them together into something that makes everybody happy.
Well, mostly the audience, but you know, occasionally the guys like it too.
Occasionally, yes. You're less concerned about them.
Well, you know, I'm concerned about everybody. I mean, I kind of feel like they're really cool, and they sometimes don't even know how cool they are. But if they did a few different things, then they would get this great audience feedback, and they have.
Yeah.
So
it's like, look, I don't want to go to this thing. No offense. I don't want to go to this thing and then see Mickey Dolenz singing some song about Reddit or whatever. You know what I mean? Like updating the lyrics to be about Reddit or Groupons. I don't want to see that. You're the
More
guy
likely
who says...
You'd be wanting to talk about the moon landing, but yes.
Yeah.
I see your point.
You're the guy who says, Mickey, let's not change the lyrics. Let's not change the lyrics of going down to be about Reddit.
No, no. He would, you know, or to do My Pillow Time instead of Pillow Time.
Yes, exactly. Let's not sing about the guy selling My Pillow. You know what I'm talking about with that, right? My Pillow. You ever see that maniac?
I do. He's a very selfish man, and he thinks they're all his pillows. That's the problem with that commercial. That's what I find, you know, somewhat insidious.
Yeah.
He starts pointing out every pillow that's on camera, and they're all his pillow.
Hey, but he's also, I mean, he goes and shows you what's wrong. There's like, yeah, lay in the bed. Here's a down pillow. Yeah, there's a problem with this is your head goes too far. Like, he's like, it's like, all right, it's a pillow. Like,
Swedish memory phone. I remember how bad it was sleeping on this.
He's so mad at it. And this is the thing.
Yeah.
I went to Bed Bath & Beyond a few weeks ago, and they had, like, My Pillow laid out there to check out. And first of all, the thing is $50. They don't tell you that. $50 for the pillow. I go and I start feeling this thing, and there's some old guy across from me feeling a Mr. My Pillow, and he's touching.
Yeah.
And the guy says to me, yeah, I don't see what the big deal is. And I said to him, yeah, I don't get it either. It just felt like a pillow.
Well, I slept on one. It was very, very gracious of my guest, of the person I was a guest of, to leave it there on the bed in their guest room, and I slept on a My Pillow one night, and I did not feel inclined to purchase one, sad to say.
Well, what you're saying is, and this is not a slam on the My Pillow guy, if you're faced with making a decision, whether it's tickets to go see Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz live in concert this June, or to get a My Pillow, you're telling people Mickey and Mike is the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what we've seen is that things like My Pillow or, you know, Billy the Big Mouth Bass, the one that sang, you know, Don't Worry, Be Happy, these things come and go. But Mike and Mickey are perennials, and you kind of need to take advantage of it while you can, you know?
Exactly.
They had a fantastic record out 2 years ago, Good Times, with new music that was pretty great.
Yes,
that song. Some of that.
The song Ben Gibbard wrote for them is one of the best things those guys have ever done. I really feel that hearing their voices sync up on that thing, it was breathtaking.
I agree. It's a fantastic track. That's Me and Magdalena. So they're going to do that on the show. And there's another track on that album, Birth of an Accidental Hipster, which was written by Paul Weller and Noel Gallagher. And they're probably going to do that, too.
But we can also, if I'm a Monkees fan, I go to this thing. I know I'm going to hear some Monkees songs, right?
You're going to hear some Monkees songs and also a lot of Michael Nesmith because, you know, he wrote so many songs, and he just did a First National Band run of dates here in California that I was part of. And so he's just fresh off of that, and those were incredible. He played at Doug Weston's Troubadour, in fact.
And now, thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that. This is the earmark of a quality guest, Andrew Sandoval, who, by the way, does a show on WFMU, right?
That's correct.
Ongoing concern?
Come to the Sunshine. Come to the Sunshine every Monday from 3 to 5 p.m. on WFMU's Rock and Soul Ichiban.
Yes, the stream run by my friend Debbie Daundry. Very great person and great WFMU DJ. And you're there over there, and it's a great place. And I wish you guys nothing but the best. I am no longer at WFMU. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I am aware of that, but until you invite me to be on your streaming station, you know, Come to the Sunshine just lies sort of in limbo, waiting to
You're where you should be. WFMU is exactly where your show should be.
Is that good or bad?
That's good. This is just a small island here, Andrew. This is not WFMU is a country, a mighty country. I'm here on a small island. Me and Dudio and Pat and Mike all staring at each other. We're all looking at each other like hot dogs and hamburgers, like it's a desert island chasing each other around a single palm tree.
Is that why you're obsessed with that Brian Wilson recorded album, the Pleasure Island? Yeah. Is that sort of the genesis of that feeling that you have now?
No, I just wanted to know what Brian Wilson would do with a concept album called Pleasure Island. There's something, because he talked about it in an interview that he was working on a concept album called Pleasure Island, and I'm just like, then suddenly it faded away. I'm like, hey, what happened to Pleasure Island? This guy was finally going to crack his head open in front of the world again. He hasn't done it in so long. Show everybody what's really going on in there. Not since Beach Boys Love You. I thought we were heading for another one of those.
That's another of my favorite albums. I've got a friend.
You don't have to tell me. Honking down the gosh darn highway.
I Want to Pick You Up. Solar System.
Yeah. Johnny Rose Carson.
Rose Gate Child. Let Us Go On This Way. You want me to name every song on the
Johnny
album?
Carson. One of the all-time classics.
Well, I'll tell you a Brian Wilson monkey story, a brief one, which is,
please.
I've got a friend who works for Brian Wilson, and he said, hey, Brian, I'm going to see the Monkees tonight. You know, my friend Andrew got me some tickets. Do you want to go? And he said, no, but could you buy me a hot dog? You know, because I mean, what do you think about when you think about a monkey show? You know, they have hot dogs there. So
that is like, that's like a joke. That's like, it's almost like a dirty joke that was like one of those, like, if like William Burroughs cut and pasted a dirty joke book, it would end up as that.
It wasn't a Mad Lib, Tom. It wasn't a Mad Lib. But he was sincere in his perhaps wanting to get a hot dog and thinking that they would be available at the monkey show that my friend was attending.
Brian Wilson was going to the monkey show, and he was not interested in hearing the music. He said, get me a hot dog. Okay, if anybody's playing Best Show Bingo, I'm sure that's one you can cross off.
Well,
look, the Pleasure Island, I'm going to walk this back now, back to the Monkees. This tour, Mickey and Mike.
No songs off of Pool It.
No songs off Pool It. Anything off Just Us?
I'm kind of doubting it.
Is there going to be Mike solo stuff on this tour?
So far, that has been discussed, and it looks like there will be some early Mike solo stuff, because a lot of that was recorded while he was still in the Monkees.
So we
started
recording a number
of those songs.
We could be looking at a Nine Times Blue, perhaps.
Perhaps. That has been discussed. That has been discussed, yes.
Anything from the prison?
Probably not, although I am quite partial to I'm part and parcel to the prison. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fantastic record. I think there's some great songs on it.
Any chance we'll get any Mickey, any of his, they're not going to be doing skits on this, though, right? They're just going to be playing a little more straight?
No shtick. No shtick on the Monkees tour upcoming that I'm aware of. There's been discussion that there would be no shtick.
All right.
So, but if you want to submit some material, you know, I'm the guy to talk to.
I don't. No. I'm not going to write skits for these two guys. I want them to just go up and play songs. That's like a dream come true. These two guys, the best two singers in the Monkees, and the best two songwriters in the Monkees, even though Peter Tork wrote amazing songs on Head. I'm still going to maybe put Mickey ahead with Randy Scouse Git.
Well, the cool thing about this, we're sad that Peter isn't joining the show, but specifically because it's just Mike and Mickey doing this, Mickey's going to sing, I think, a few of the songs that Peter wrote that he sang on the original records that whenever we did them live, Peter sang them. So, for instance, he could sing Can You Dig It like he did in the movie Head,
yes,
which Peter always sang live. So, you know, it gives a little change up for people who have seen the Monkees or any varying combination of them over the years.
You know what song I would like to hear? I think is one of the best songs they've ever done. The Girl I Knew Somewhere. The Girl I Knew Somewhere. Because they both sang it at different points. There's a recorded version of both of them singing. But then the harmonies on that, that's what that Ben Gibbard song brings to mind, is The Girl I Knew Somewhere.
Well, that's kind of the blueprint for this tour, and that's why they want to do it so much together. They want to sing a lot of harmony. I mean, Mickey sings the high harmony on Papa Jean's Blues on the original record. You know, you hear them, like, on Sunny Girlfriend, Mickey sing the high harmony to Mike. So it's going to be a lot of that. And so, yeah, you will hear The Girl I Knew Somewhere amongst other songs, and hopefully some Michael Monkey era songs that he's never done live. So that's kind of the exciting part of it as well.
I'm fired up for this. It's this June. Mickey Dolenz, Mike Nesmith, and for anybody who's just like saying to me now, like, yeah, didn't you have a thing with Mickey Dolenz? No, this is the guy who introduced me to Mickey, and then everything was right. Because, yeah, a long time ago, Mickey went, I went up to him at a thing and went, hey, how are you? He went, meh. And then it was at the U.S. Open. I was working for the USA Network at that point, and they were airing that, and it was at a tennis match. And then he was at the other side of the room talking to literally nobody, standing there, and I went over and just said, hey, just want to introduce myself. I'm a huge fan of the Monkees. Head is one of my favorite movies of all time. And he went, meh, and then turned away. And then I was mad for about 8 years. And then you were like, yeah, you should meet Mickey. He's a good guy. And I did, and I'm like, yeah, he is a good guy.
It felt right to make peace between the two of you. I felt that had to, even though I enjoyed all the Photoshop stuff that your listeners had created.
Yeah.
And the Mickey Photoshop contest, all that was quite humorous. I felt, despite not wanting to see that end, I wanted there to be peace between the two of you.
And it's also, thank you. I appreciate peace in our time, as Neville Chamberlain said. Any chance of, if they're not going to do the comedy, might I suggest, do you know there's a young comic out there, a hungry young comic named Andy Kindler, and what if he could open the dates with a quick 15 to kind of get the crowd laughing and smiling, and then introduce Mickey and Mike? Any thoughts?
That sounds great. I'm a fan of Andy Kindler. Or Andy Kindler type people, not necessarily Andy Kindler himself, but you know, the whole genre of Andy Kindler kind of people. If he can take that 15 down to a tight 5, it's a good possibility, Tom.
Sure.
But I want to let you know that the final date of this tour is going to be in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Hold on, let me
and
this down.
One of your heroes is supposedly sponsoring this specific date of the tour, Little Steven.
Okay. And what is the date of this Red Bank tour?
I should have all these dates in front of me. I don't because I'm just not thinking that commercially.
Where do people get those dates? That's an important thing for them.
They can get them at monkees.com, themonkees.com.
Themonkees.com.
And all over Facebook and Twitter and all the usual social media places that you can find them. The tickets are available now, but I just thought, because, you know, Little Steven wasn't out with the Wascals, that, you know.
So you're saying that the show in Red Bank that night will be the coolest show going on at any point in anywhere. It's very exciting. I'm here with Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, and I'm going to see if I can get them to let me come up and jam on Good Lovin', a song which is from our favorite band, the Rascals. Maybe we could get Felix and the rest of the Rascals up here. Maybe Leslie West can come up and jam, and we'll do Mississippi Queen with Mickey Dolenz and Mike Nesmith here in Red Bank.
That's where I come in. That's where the producer comes in and say, Lil Steven, you know it is Good Lovin'. They play it as Let's Dance On. That's their song that sounds like Good Lovin'. See, why don't we do it?
Yes.
You know, you want to split the difference?
It's exciting.
Put on your bandana. Come on up. There's got to be somebody with a Stratocaster around here that'll let you plug in.
One of the best shows I ever saw is Little Steven organized this giant festival out on the Randall's Island. I think it was Randall's Island, wherever it was. Was that where it was? I don't know. And he had this rotating stage that it was just going to be, each band was going to spin around on the thing and just like have it be like hullabaloo all over again. And within 5 minutes, this rotating stage broke. So no one, that didn't happen. And then the Stooges played it, and then Iggy Pop immediately told everybody to get on stage. And this is not like a get on stage at like a theater where there's like, if this is an outdoor festival thing. So suddenly there's hundreds of people who are drunk, have been out in the sun all day, storming the stage to get on stage. It was one of the best things I've ever seen. And I'm just imagining little Steven backstage. I picture when he's tense, he chews on the edge of his scarf. Like he just chews, you know what I mean? Like he just has it in his mouth and just is always kind of just nibbling on it.
I just kind of imagine that he's always probably saying Moody Suzuki.
That he's what?
He's always saying Moody Suzuki.
The Moody Suzuki will be up later, and very exciting. We got coming up the Dirt Bombs, and Moody Suzuki will be on the stage.
It'd be coolest.
So, Andrew Sandoval, this Monkees tour is going to be great. Not Monkees, Mickey and Mike. It's going to be so much fun. And this is a great thing you're pulling off. I tip my hat to you once again. What else is going on with you? What else can we look forward to? Any reissues or collections you've been assembling?
Sure. I continue to work on the Kinks catalog. I think there's going to be some sort of anniversary edition of the Village Green Preservation Society this year, which is my personal favorite album of all time. So I'm looking forward to that. It's not all sort of settled out yet, but I'm hoping that comes to fruition, and for the last several years, I've been working on the Van Morrison catalog for Sony, and we just had a box set come out from Rhino Handmade of the More of the Monkees album, three CDs, and you know about 100 songs spread over those CDs with a bunch of outtakes and things like that. So,
now, what would you say to someone who says that Arthur is a better album than Village Green? What would you say to someone who says that Arthur is like Village Green but a rock record?
Well, I would say Arthur is an excellent album, another favorite, but, you know, it's not Village Green Preservation Society. I mean, just like Something Else isn't in Face to Face or King Controversy, which are all pretty stellar records, you know, you can't really go wrong. I mean, why limit yourself to one, really?
Because there's a pyramid and there can only be one thing at the top of it.
So is Arthur your favorite Kinks album?
It is. Yes. I love it. Look, I like Village Green a lot. It's not my favorite. I think I like.
What about that long jam on Australia? Do you think that's like the four minutes that takes up?
That and Shangri-La and all of it, yeah.
Well, Shangri-La is a genius track. Yeah. I mean, that's so's unbelievable. Australia. But
Australia, you know I'm right, and you're gonna.
It's a great album.
In the middle of the night, you're gonna.
Which
you're
is
gonna,
my favorite album.
You're gonna pitch these guys. Hey, what if we switch to Arthur for the box set?
No, that'll be next year. That'll be next year's 50th anniversary.
Do an Arthur box set. That's what everybody really wants. No offense to the Village Green box. But I want an Arthur.
You're not a fan of the twee? You can't get
down
with the twee,
Tom? No, I like it just fine. I like it just fine, but I like when they got guitars going and they're doing the whole thing.
You don't want to, like, sip some tea in the park and
yeah, I do, but
have
then
some
I like
crumpets and oboes? Look,
how are you going to argue with Brainwashed, my friend? Right? You can't argue with that.
It's a fantastic record.
Yeah. And it's a little better than Village Green. And
not
part
really.
Of you knows,
no, I'm sorry.
Part of
I'm
you
sorry.
Knows that. Part of
you
knows
know me.
That. And it's haunting you.
No, it's, you know, Village Green has been my favorite album since I was a teenager, and I'm not, it's not going
to
change.
Now it's time to move on. It did what it did for you for a very long time. You can say goodbye. Say, now you're my second best friend. You rank your friends, right?
I do not rank my friends,
well,
actually.
I have a dry erase board here, and I have my friends ranked on it.
Well, I could not turn my back on Villa Train. It's been too close, too near and dear to me. I cannot do that, Tom. I'm sorry, not even for you.
I am just going to tell you, and don't take this the wrong way, you're not in control of this. In the middle of the night, you are going to feel, you're going to be like, you know what? Yeah, I think I'd rather listen to Arthur. And then,
what's your favorite Beach Boys album?
At this point in my life?
Yeah.
What would be my favorite? I can't listen to Pet Sounds anymore. I can't listen to that anymore. What, I'm supposed to hear that again? Listen to it 8,000 times, right? What did I listen to now? I don't know. Wild Honey's like 8 minutes long, and it's got some hobby songs on there. Like, it's like, if I had to listen to a Beach Boys album right now, not that it would be my favorite by any stretch, I'd probably listen to like Friends.
That's my favorite. See, I was kind of channeling that to you. I knew you were going to say that.
Okay.
Because you're probably going to go back on your opinion on Arthur. Someday you're going to realize that Village Green is so much better. 15 songs, all of them flawless.
Andrew, I don't need to roll with the pack. I don't need to roll with the pack. I'm that salmon going upstream, baby. Listening to, with the headphones on, listening to Arthur.
Well, you know, enjoy that, I guess. Enjoy that.
What's the best song on Friends? We're going to say it at the count of three. One, two, three. Busy Doing Nothing.
Busy Doing Nothing is great. And Passing By, Annalie the Healer.
Busy Doing Nothing, if people want to understand that, that is one of the... There have been so few songs written that match that song in... It's like when people throw the word just like, well, any word. It's like, it's so far out there. There's a point in the song when he's doing ESP to recall a phone number. And that's what the song's about, is him just being like racking his brain and going inside, not ESP, but he's doing like mind tricks to pull a friend's phone number back up.
Then he sharpens up a pencil to write a letter to his friend.
It's the greatest. I love it. What's that dude like, Brian?
Well, he doesn't pick up the phone to like send them a text or anything.
There's people I don't ever want to meet. I don't ever want to meet Steve Coogan. I don't ever want to meet Brian Wilson. Because they did too much, and I would hate for it to be a bad experience.
You mean like the Mickey thing? We got over that. We got over that.
But what did I say to Mickey? I didn't say anything to him. The time I tried, if I would have went up to him that time you introduced me, I said to him, hey, Mickey, I'm a huge fan of Head. You know what he would have done? Back again. There's a friend. I'm not going to name this friend. And he was a kid growing up in the Midwest, and he meets Bruce Willis as a 10-year-old. And he says to Bruce Willis something, and Bruce Willis says, bleep off, kid. And then as an adult, he runs into him again, and Bruce Willis says to him literally, bleep off, kid.
You didn't get to talk to him about how much he loved the Return of Bruno album?
Look, I was listening to that album the other day. Not the album. I heard the song Respect Yourself. And
Tom, do you know there's an entire TV special with like a fake?
Oh, I know.
A fake thing with Bruno, with all these people doing testimonials, like the Bee Gees.
Andrew Sandoval, I know. I know all about it. You know about it because the Bee Gees are on. You had to keep track of the day they filmed the thing. All right, Andrew.
All right.
Look,
thank
I want to say this. Thank you so much for calling. It's always fun to talk to you. You're a font of knowledge, and you do the right thing when it comes to these acts that have been around for a long time. You keep the thing honest, and you keep it on point, and you think of the fans first. And so I tip my hat to you for that, for what you've done for the Monkees catalog and the legacy and all that. And I'm looking for this tour is going to be fantastic. Mickey and Mike.
This well, thank you. It has been a pleasure to be on Doug Weston's best show.
Who is Doug Weston now? Why
I gotta go.
Home?
I gotta go.
No, no, no! Don't do that to me. No, no. Okay, goodbye. Fine. Also, the best show to Doug Weston. Doug Weston's the best show. Best show. Hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
It's Amber from Brooklyn.
Amber from Brooklyn. How are you, Amber? What's going on tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What's going on in the world of Kansas? Your favorite band.
Well, I just found out that they released a greatest hit on red translucent vinyl, and so I'm considering buying that, even though I don't really need a greatest hit, but I'm sort of a sucker for colored vinyl, so...
Yeah. You can't...
I sort of want it in my collection, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Well, maybe... Maybe you'll find one.
And then you can just hear all the hits at one time, you know? Just put one record on and all the hits yeah. are right there for you.
All of them. Exactly. They're all there for you. All your favorites.
Yep. Oh. I just got the Toto greatest hits record they just put out. Mm-hmm. So
now what's on the so that Toto record, the greatest hits, that's blank on the other side?
Well, it's got a couple of new tracks.
Does it have Africa on it three times?
Well, you know, I think it's sort of like they do their concert. Like, they put all the tracks on that they play in their concerts, basically. Okay. And they always do Rosanna and Africa right at the end. So those are the last two tracks.
All right. So it's a fun, a fun trip down memory lane.
Yeah, I mean, coincidence, I just turned 40 myself, and the record is called 40 Trips Around the Sun.
Okay.
So.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
So what else is going on? Anything exciting?
Well, you be the judge. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos, Christopher from The Sopranos.
Yes.
Has written a novel.
I'm listening.
And it is called The Perfume Burned His Eyes.
Okay.
Do you want to take any stab at what this novel could possibly be about?
The Perfume, let me get this straight. The Perfume Burned His Eyes?
Yeah.
I don't know. What is it about?
You're going to die.
I'm ready.
A coming-of-age story about a kid from Queens who befriends Lou Reed.
Oh, that's, yes. Okay, you're not the, somebody sent me.
It was me. I'm the one who emailed that to you.
Though you, that's right. Okay. So, yeah. Lou Reed, so it's a novel, though.
Yeah, it's basically like fan fiction. I can't even believe that this publisher published it, because they're actually a pretty respected publisher. And I'm just like, really? Lou Reed fan fiction?
And they put the book out about Lou Reed fan. I got to, how do I not have this thing? I've been trying to write something. I got to make more headway with this thing.
I know.
Michael Imperioli's got his thing done.
Exactly. I'm like, I was of two minds of if I should actually tell you about it, because I'm like,
good.
I don't want to rub more salt in the wound.
It's good for me to know. It's good for me to know. I got some work to do.
And it's also sort of like art imitates life, imitates art, whatever, because, you know, Christopher wrote a screenplay in The Sopranos.
Yes. Not Hatchet. What was it called again? Cleaver.
Oh, God. Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Cleaver. He wrote a movie called Cleaver. That he was trying
yes.
to... Yeah. Yeah,
The quote that they have on their website about the book is, Imperioli can definitely write. I'm like, Kenny.
He uses all 26 letters. There's 20. Wait, there's 26? Pat? 26 letters, yes. Before I zing this God. Guy, I want to make sure I'm getting
everything right. You got to hear this this quote. Blah, blah, blah. Coming of age story of 17-year-old Matthew, whose mother moves them to Queens, moves them from Queens to a posh apartment in Manhattan. Matt is not a typical teenager. Think Holden Caulfield without the cynicism, but often afraid and awkward. Oh, my God.
So he writes,
I really want to read this book.
I think I want to read this book, too. So he, but then he starts hanging out with Lou Reed?
Yes. When I read the description, I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? Like, no one was like, no, I don't think you should write fan fiction about Lou Reed. Like, just
but what era, what like, is it? What's he showing up and seeing the Lou Reed robot from the No Money Down video? I mean, is this like mistrial?
It's 76.
76. So he's doing Take No Prisoners or something, like, or Rock and Roll Heart.
Yeah. Lou Reed, who lives with his transgender girlfriend, mm-hmm. Rachel, in the same building. The artistic shamanic rocker eventually becomes an unorthodox father figure to Matthew, who finds himself head over heels for the mysterious Veronica, wise beyond her years girl he beats at his school.
But this is not real, though.
I don't know. Now I'm like, maybe did this actually happen to Michael Imperioli?
I don't know. I got to find out. Now you truly intrigued me with this. You've actually sold
you
a copy. You called.
Should have Michael Imperioli on your show.
Yeah, let's not get too carried.
He would love to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, look, these clowns out there, and clowns is a strong word probably. I'm going to walk that back already. My producers on the show. I don't know why I called them clowns. I don't know. Because I wanted to feel, you know why? Because I wanted to feel big for a second. That's why. I wanted to feel big for a second, so I put them down. Now, who's the clown, right? So anyway, there's a contest going on, a points-driven contest to see who can get people to call in. Michael Imperioli might be a good one to strive for. Guys, that's 200 points.
I sent you the email to his, publicist,
don't help
basically.
Them. Don't help them.
So
don't help them, Amber.
Just check the email.
If you're looking for a good time, Charlie, oh honey, oh. I gotta read this book now.
Yeah.
220 points for Michael Imperioli. 5-minute call with him.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah. Well, Amber.
I have one more thing.
Oh, go ahead. Go. It's all yours.
I have a recommendation to the young lady who called earlier who's going to Edinburgh.
Yes.
I've been there. Beautiful city. The best restaurant I ate at in the UK was Cafe St. Honoré in Edinburgh. So.
You hear that?
Write it down.
Shannon. I think it was Shannon, right?
Yeah, Shannon.
Shannon. Good recommendation. I love it. See, people pay, take care. And what about a Carl's Jr.? Is that a good restaurant?
I've never eaten at Carl's Jr., so I can't, you know.
Looks bad. They sure run the commercials. My Pillow. Any experience with My Pillow?
No, but, you know, it looks intriguing.
Yes. And finally, before I let you go, how's your kid doing? How's Stanley?
He's great. He, I put him to bed and he was talking up a storm in his crib for the last hour. I was wondering if he was going to go to sleep anytime soon, but I think he's finally asleep. So
he's all ramped up.
Yeah. It's his favorite time. He just loves hanging out in his crib by himself and chit chatting to himself.
Nice.
I don't know.
He's a sweetheart. All right. Well, look, we'll see about Michael Imperioli. And thank you for the heads up.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye. Another song by Helium. Cash Show. What's up, everybody? The number 201-332-3484. We're doing a show tonight. Kind of low key. A little low key. I'm still not feeling great. I'm better. I just, this thing hangs around, man. Yeah, still doing it. What else are you going to do? No Mike tonight. He's tending to some personal stuff. Always thinking about Mike, thinking about you. And in the meantime, got Pat and Dudio here. And let's go back to the phones. Oh, before I go back to the phones, season two of Meet My Friends, the Friends Recap podcast will start in a week or so. We went through season one. Season two will probably start up behind the Best Show paywall, which is going to get it started behind that, and then it'll be available to everybody. But if you want to hear it early, you got to support the show over at Patreon, patreon.com/thebestshow. That's where you can contribute to keep the show going, and you give what you can give, and we send stuff out to everybody, and we appreciate all of it. And one of the things you get is exclusive content before anybody else gets it. Patreon.com/thebestshow. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Daryl. I'm in Clarksville, Maryland. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on tonight, Daryl?
I was first going to ask you how you're doing.
I'm all right. Hanging in there.
Yeah, how was your week off?
Well, it wasn't, you know, I was not here. I was not on vacation or anything, but it was good. We get by, you know. I was sick, and then I was doing work, so.
You didn't have the flu, did you?
I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it sure was.
So, I wanted to talk to you about basketball tonight.
Okay.
Did you watch the All-Star game?
I did.
What'd you think?
What did I think of the All-Star game? Yeah, look, the All-Star game is never my favorite thing, but,
You like the twist?
Well, hold on. Click it down, my friend.
All right.
Just one tiny bit. I'm
okay, I'll take it easy.
I'm doing what I'm doing. All right. They did a thing with the All-Star game this year. Usually the NBA does a thing where it's the East. The teams in the East, the best players from the East play against the best teams from the West. But this year they decided to do a thing where they picked team captains, one from the East and one from the West, and they picked their teams as if it was just kind of playground basketball. They just said, I'll take this guy. And then the other guy said, I'll take this guy. And they built the teams that way. So it was fun to see that. And it was a nice.
But we didn't see that, though. That was the problem.
All right. Well, as I was about to say, they didn't do that.
That wasn't an affront. That wasn't an affront to the host. That was simply to say that was a problem of the way that the draft went down.
So they did not do the draft on camera. You didn't see them.
No.
Get off my phone, you worm. Guy, interrupt me. First of all, it's written right here in my notebook, NBA All-Star Game. What do you think? I'm not going to talk about that? It's is guiding me through it, as if I need my hand held to talk about that. As if I need my hand held to talk about the nerve. I'm here painting pictures. Got this guy. He's drawing on a bathroom wall. This guy. The way he approaches it. I'm painting. Painting pictures. This guy's writing for a good time call, whatever. For a bad time, him call me, actually. He would write on the men's room wall. For a bad time, I will call 201-332-3484. I'll say this. This NBA All-Star game, it's like, again, look, who cares? It's an exhibition. It's made you watch the guys, they're throwing passes and having a good time, and they're goofing off. It's a publicity event. So they broke it up. They did this thing where they let the players draft each of the teams, and there was the thing, and then... But they didn't do it on camera, so now you have all these guys like, I want to watch that on camera. Really? I don't care. What do I care? Got to watch a guy. I want to see a guy feel, see someone feel bad they're not getting picked. I got to watch that? That they're getting picked last? What's that all about? Ghoulish. There's some ghoulish people. And look, I've been a ghoul more times than a lot of people. Watching things, watching flops and stuff like that. And look, there was a thing where during this All-Star game, they had Fergie from Black Eyed Peas. She sang the national anthem, right? It was terrible, right? It was the worst. She's doing this thing, and she did like this torchy, jazzy version of it. It was a complete misfire. And she said a day later, yeah, everybody browbeat her into owning that it sucked. But it's like, what's better? What's better than that? Stephen A. Smith talking? Dan LeBatard talking? Like these people? Skip Bayless? That's better? Are talking heads of the world are better than I'll take it 10 times over 10. I'm going to take somebody who does a thing and eats it over someone who knows better. Bless you. Who sneezed? That was you. Bless you. Yeah, so. Yeah, she sang the thing. It was not good. Whatever. Like, look, I'm not going to, look, does part of me want to get out? There was this pre-show to the NBA All-Star game that was, some would say was a skin crawl. I've heard the word skin crawling used, in my own head. Where it was like a skit got played out where Kevin Hart was, finally he's resurfaced. Kevin Hart is back. I hadn't seen him for 4 days and started to get a little worried that he wasn't in something for almost a week. It's like, where is he? The last time I saw him, he was trying to force his way up onto the podium at the Super Bowl. So he hosts this skit and he's like, I want to host I want to be an all-star, an NBA all-star was the thing him and his, he was like talking to his guys, like, what should we do? What's the next thing I can achieve? It's like, I want to be an NBA, he decides he wants to be an NBA all-star. And that was like a pre-recorded thing. Then they cut to the NBA all-star game. And, which was in Los Angeles, which is where I was. Not saying that it overlaps with the work I was doing, but it did. So, so Kevin Hart's all of a sudden there and he's like, I'm not sure what to do. I want to be an all-star. Then Rob Riggle shows up and, They kind of walk through the what it takes to be an all-star. And I just want to say, look, I'll say this. It's like, look, Kevin Hart and Rob Riggle. I see these guys so much. It's like, there's more of a chance of, you look in the mirror, one out of every five times, you're going to see one of those guys. That's how much they show up and stuff. They'll pop up in your mirror, like Candyman. You look in the mirror, you see Rob Riggle looking back at you. Or Kevin Hart. So they do some skit, and they're dancing around, and then Jamie Foxx comes out dressed like a cowboy, and he's doing a thing. Then suddenly Queen Latifah comes out, and then Adam Devine, the Jack Black impersonator from Workaholics, and he's dancing around, and you're just like, I was like, wait, do I still have the flu? Maybe my flu got worse, and I'm hallucinating this. Is that possible? This is like some horrific fever dream I'm experiencing? Oh, but fear not. Rob Riggle's now got an electric guitar, and he's singing In the Air tonight. And I'm like, all right, and now I'm clearly hallucinating this. There's no way this is happening. But it was. Rob Riggle. I think it was a great opportunity for him to try something new out, playing guitar at the NBA All-Star Game. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Who wouldn't want to hear Rob Riggle sing the hits of Phil Collins? Yes, then finally they get to, then Kevin Hart starts doing intros for the players. He's like roasting each player as like they come down the walkway. It's like, wait a minute. I'm an all-star. This is my moment. Oh, this is your moment now. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize this was a Don Rickles concert and I'm in the audience getting made fun of. It's funny. I kind of thought it was the all-star game and I thought I had worked my whole career to get to this point. Where I now get to play in the game that honors the best. And, oh, no, but you're going to rip me for having, like, shoulder hair or whatever he was making fun of people for? What? You imagine that compulsion you got to be on camera all the time? This guy just ain't happy being, watching a thing. Can't just watch it. He's got to be in it. And look, Rob Riggle's a nice guy. I'm not going to put this guy down. He's a very nice guy. But it's just, I didn't want to see no skits from anybody in the middle of this thing. Skits. Not sketches. That was a skit. They did. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Yes, hi.
How you doing, sir?
I'm all right. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, this is Bucky in Peoria.
Bucky in Peoria. What's up tonight, Bucky?
Oh, not much. I was trying to get my kid to eat something. She's six, so she won't eat anything.
How old is your kid? How old's your
I'm
kid?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. How old's your kid?
She's like 2.5. She is 2.5.
And what were you trying to get her to eat? Pizza pie?
Salami and provolone. That's two of the like six things she'll eat.
Yeah, that sounds like those are the foundations of a toddler's diet.
It's two of the main food groups.
Yeah. salami and provolone. What are you at a wedding reception?
When I pile these two things onto my plate in the middle of the night, it's the most I ever feel like Tony Soprano.
Yeah. But your 2.5-year-old loves to just load up on deli meats. Cured.
Yeah, she's a little Robert Eiler.
Yes. Little AJ Soprano in the making. There.
Yeah.
Loading up on those cured deli meats.
Yeah.
Anything else? Yeah. Maybe want to work carrots or any vegetables into that mix?
I try. I really do.
I'm gonna say this. Look, and it's not my place to tell you how to parent. I'm gonna just preface it with that. But I'm gonna say, try harder.
It's an everyday struggle, sir.
There's gotta be a point. There's gotta be a point where you say, look, you can have a little salami if you eat some broccoli.
She loves it. She just loves it.
She loves the pepper. What is it? Provolone?
She's actually, the provolone's not like her favorite or anything. It's just what was.
You kind of forced that on her, right? kind of a one for you, one for me kind of deal with the provolone.
Yeah. I give her the big half.
Yeah. What's your kid's name?
Her name is Pearl.
Pearl.
Yeah.
And how's she doing with other stuff?
She's good. She's I don't know. She's not super athletic, but she's very intellectual. I feel like she's she knows like how to count to like 25 and. And we get these emails. My fiance gets these emails that say how many words your toddler should know, and she's always like smashing those numbers. She's way over that. So
exactly, because she's saying things like there's words in her vocabulary now like slice it thin or what are you being so tight with the gabagool? Right?
Yeah, she's picking up a little bit all the stuff that I say usually.
Yeah. Might be time to stop playing The Sopranos during the middle of the day.
I don't actually play it. I just act it out. Just, you know, just the nice scenes.
Which character are you most like, and which character is she most like?
In past years I would have said I'm the Tim Daly character, but I feel like I've redeemed myself somewhat.
The who? Which character? The priest?
No. Tim Daly. He's the actor in it's not Machete. What's it called? Cleaver.
Oh, that's right. Yes, of course. He was in Cleaver. He was the actor who was attached, right?
That's him. Yeah.
So you're more like that. And who's your kid like? Uncle Junior.
So she used to look like Uncle Jim, but she's, you know, she's coming to her own. She's gone full Johnny Sack, I'd say, at this point.
Well, that's the look of a child that brings to mind Johnny Sack. I don't know what more you could ask as a father.
Yeah. Like season 2 Johnny Sack, not later on.
Sure. Oh, okay, of course. No, just when he was not completely off the deep end.
Yeah.
Just when Tony was starting to feel like this guy might mow me down.
How I feel about her sometimes.
Well, child is a father to the man. That's what they say.
They do, yes, sir.
Yeah. Anything else, my friend?
The reason I called is I'm having a bit of a crisis of. I was thinking of a dramatic career change.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. It's been a couple weeks since I've. It hurt your voice, Tom. So
well, what are you doing right now? What are you doing for a living right now?
I work as a social media coordinator for the brand Crock-Pot as kitchen appliances.
You do what now? Say that again. You work.
I work as a social media coordinator for the brand Crock-Pot kitchen appliances.
So you tweet out from the Crock-Pot account?
The Twitter is new. It's been mostly Facebook and Instagram, but we've launched Twitter within the last month, and it's that, among some other things, are kind of stressing me out.
So you tweet out as a crock pot? I'm looking at it here. Crockpot Cares?
Yeah, that's not really me just yet. That's a brand new thing. In theory, I'll be taking over some of that shortly, but so far it's been slow going.
So I'm looking at some of the tweets here. So the dude from This Is Us is a Crock-Pot sponsor?
Well, no, that's another thing that's been stressing me out. We had a character, like that guy, that his character on the show, he died in a fire, spoilers for This Is Us, because he, like, plugged his Crock-Pot in and it, like, set on fire, which is not something that happens with our products, but it is a thing that happened on the show, and that's caused
Sounds like there could be a lawsuit in the making here. They're saying that the crock pot blew up the guy's house or something.
Well, it didn't have the brand name on it. It was just like a generic thing, but people associate. It's like, you know, it's like brand recognition. People associate it with it. So,
let me just ask you: are you telling me the truth? Let's just be honest.
I wish I wasn't.
You wish you were. So you are.
Yes, sir,
so
and I'm considering a change because I'm not enjoying it anymore.
This is not a comedy routine you've worked up and have been dying to get to for the last 2 weeks.
No, sir.
So it's time. You feel like crockpots have really taken it on the chin the last couple weeks because people.
I mean, it's been fine. I mean, it has been a lot of work. It's pretty much died down by now. But I'm just not enjoying the work anymore.
Well, what am I making in a crock pot? Just what am I throwing in there? Stew?
Yeah, beans and, you know, like stock and I don't know.
And what, then I go to work and I come home and it's ready to eat? Is that what it is?
In theory.
I don't know about this crock pot thing. First of all, you didn't send me one. You got to get ready. This guy's working in a room surrounded by crock pots. He can't send one to his old friend Tom. Couldn't throw a crock pot in the mail for me, huh?
We can. I mean, if you want to like DM me on like not DM that account, but like DM me on my personal account, we can figure something out.
Man, I don't know if I want a crock pot. And I go through all the thing and but hey, did you send that crock pot out yet? And then you're going to be like, yeah, did you get it yet? And I'm going to be like, yeah, it's still in a box. Sorry. Didn't get to open it yet. What do I put in? So you're not sure if you want to work. First of all, I'm questioning whether this is a great idea for you to be saying, hey, I work for Crock-Pot, and I don't know if I want to be worked there anymore.
I am also now questioning this entire thing.
But no one knows who you are.
Also, Bucky isn't my real name, but people do call me that at work.
Hold on. I'm going to say this. You're having a crisis of conscience here. The stress from this whole This Is Us thing with the crock pot is getting you down. But let that pass. And I'm only saying this because then when it gets past the work thing and then nobody thinks. Let the dust settle. See how it feels being there, and then you figure out what the next part of your life holds. You might just be feeling the heat, not unlike that character felt the heat when the crockpot blew up in his face.
Perhaps.
Although it wasn't a crockpot.
No, it was a generic kitchen appliances.
Yeah, so this is the kind of thing you go get at like the dollar store. Somebody bought an off-brand crock pot.
Yeah.
Why not just?
There's a whole backstory to the crock pot and the product in the show.
Why don't you do this? Why don't you start a whole thing and just you film a thing where you got your face pressed against a crock pot, right? Mm-hmm. And you just show. It's like, look, this thing's not blowing up.
I don't think I have the social media reach myself to really do that.
Throw my name in the mix as a crockpot spokesman.
Okay.
Serious. I'll rep crockpots.
Okay.
Throw my name in the mix. I'll press my face against the side. Well, not against the side of a crockpot. It's still hot. Right?
It does get hot. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'll just sit there. What about this? Tom versus the Crock-Pot. You put all the stuff in it. I sit there, I read a magazine right next to the thing. Okay. My head's right near it all day long. 8 hours later, family comes home. And I'm doing fine. My face is still intact. And then I serve the food for them.
Okay. Tom versus the Crock-Pot.
Yeah. And then you know who wins? Everyone. Because we all ate great food in the out of the Crock-Pot.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And look, this was basic. I'm going to say this. Also, I'm not doing no Crock-Pot commercial now either. I don't know what the deal with these things are. If this is some weird hip branding that this guy's trying to do, calling and talking about Crock-Pots on the show, I don't know. I truly am not doing a commercial. I have no idea if this thing's going to blow up in your face or not. I truly don't know. I'm not plugging
Crock-Pots. I've got one foot out the door already, sir, so it's okay if it does.
I'm not no, that's not okay. What about my face?
No, fair enough. Look, I thought you meant metaphorically blow up. In my face.
This is what we do for the thing. They take your face. They take you. You heat the crock pot up. You stick your head in it. We put the lid on it. Right?
Okay.
And an hour later, you pull your head out.
Sure.
All right?
Yes, sir.
What would that make your face look like?
It has not been tested. It's not recommended
use. It's not what you use it for. Exactly. That's the right answer. You don't do that. Thank you. All right, my friend.
Thank you.
Good luck with everything. It seems like you, between your cured meat eating 2-year-old and your future doing social media for Crock-Pots, 2018 is truly your year. you're
thank
in
you,
great shape, buddy. All right. You take care.
Yeah, you
do. Poor guy. Best show. Okay. That's how I like him. Best show, hi.
Oh, yeah. Hey, hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Morgan from Cleveland.
Morgan from Cleveland. I was in your neck of the woods.
Wait, why? Oh, God.
Because my plane... they grounded us for a few hours. So I had the privilege of sitting on the runway.
Oh, okay.
Well, at your airport. Cool. And I also got to get off the plane and walk up and down the empty terminal.
Oh, that's good. It's usually empty. I'm surprised no one offered you like a plate of pierogies or something.
There was nothing open
except
for a Dunkin' Donuts that everyone from the plane lined up at. I think they're still there waiting.
Yeah, they probably are.
I got to stare at a picture of the champion Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, right. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it wasn't Drew Carey.
Then I got back on the plane.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you had a great Cleveland vacation.
It was a fun time in Cleveland. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
That's great.
So what's going on?
Remember my roommate who I told you about, who you kind of scared, like,
yes.
You know, she's finally able to sit with me on one of these shows, and she is delighted, but she also thinks she's dying from some sort of ailment that we were trying to either figure out what one to go off of from WebMD.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe if we tell you what we think she's dying of, which one?
Sure, let's try this.
Well, so I guess overnight her legs have blown up to be basically two sausages. And so her options are either an overactive thyroid, mm-hmm. kidney failure, mm-hmm. or congestive heart failure.
Yeah, this is what I would say. You don't know. I don't know.
Right.
You know who would
right.
know? Do you know who generally knows things like that? Doctors!
She didn't go to a doctor. And they don't know.
The doctor said, I don't know.
Yeah, so they just took blood, but she basically told me.
They're going to.
A dying wish.
They took blood, and I'm sure they're going to get back to her at some point.
Oh, they sent her lab back already via text message. But they're all, they're all medical terms.
So the doctor said nothing specific about this condition?
Nope.
Then you might not want to hear this advice. You might want to go to a different doctor.
That's what I'm telling her.
Because a doctor should generally want to... a doctor should just have a vested interest in getting to the bottom of
right.
this.
Right. Most, yeah.
Not just so be like, let me send your blood work back, and you can stare at some numbers and not know what they mean. Meanwhile, your legs are still swollen.
Like little sausages. That's what she wants. This is a dying wish of hers. But she's not going to die. She'll be fine.
Of course not. She's going to be fine.
She has gotten through the horror of the house being broken into, but has moved on to a new horror.
Her swollen legs.
Her
it is a weird legs. Show tonight. I tell you, it is a weird one tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Her legs swelled up like two balloons, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it's like? It's like comfortably numb?
Yeah.
When your roommate was a child, she had some weird sickness. Her legs swelled up like two balloons. The doctor did some blood work and that was it. He sent a text message back with some numbers. But didn't say a whole lot else.
She says she's really happy. Thank you.
Well, look, you please go get checked out legit. Tell your roommate.
Yeah, no, we got.
Go to a real doctor. If that doctor should be. Right. You sure this was a doctor? This wasn't like. Where was this doctor?
In East Cleveland, and at midnight, it was a free time to get in. I'm kidding. No, it was in a suburb called Akron,
we all know Akron. Well, exactly. Devo's from Akron.
Yeah.
Who else is from Akron?
Black Keys and I think
it's Graham. And Chrissy Hynde is from Akron too.
Oh, true. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
On the Challenger, the perfect.
All right.
Oh, my
Your
God.
Roommate's a gloomy. She's throwing the gloomy ones out tonight.
Did you hear
Challenger,
that?
Challenger? Yeah, I heard. All I heard was the Challenger.
She said a lady that went up in the Challenger.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she threw out the gloomy one.
Pretty awesome, actually.
Well.
You tell your roommate, go get some help, please. That worries me.
All right. She will get. Great help.
All right, you do that. Please say, let me know what's going on.
Thanks for listening.
Of course. Night. It's a weird show tonight. It's a weird one. I don't know what to say about this one. You know what I want to say? It's a good, a great comic book. I am a fan of. Hold on, hang tight. I'm going to pull this up. Dead Horse. You know Dead Horse, right? This dude, Eric Grissom, right? He's a talented dude. Does a comic book. He's been doing this book, Dead Horse, for a while. They did six issues, and then they did three, and now it's time to they did six and then two, and then now it's time to do more. And they self-publish it, so they have a Kickstarter up now. You can go to Kickstarter, search Dead Horse over at Kickstarter. You can read all about it. I think there's only about 10 or so days to go on this. It's great. Can't wait. I want the rest of these issues to exist. It's a great comic. So go over there and check it out if you want to look at a good comic book. Dead Horse is a good one. my pick to click over at Kickstarter. Best show, hi.
Kona.
What? Who's this now? Hello, hi. Say that again, please.
Are you there, sir?
I am.
Excellent. Good to know.
Oh, I know who this is. Oh, my goodness. I know who this is. This is BB from Las Vegas.
It's Gravy and Biscuits Night.
How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. Don't worry. No, nothing to worry about with me.
Check your mail tomorrow, man. There's a little something in there for you.
All right. I will. I will.
All right.
How are things out in Las Vegas tonight?
Well, you know, we had a spectacular fire in the, the Nature Preserve out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crazy. It looked like they were burning tires out there.
Ugh.
It didn't last long.
Good.
But it was really bright.
It's horrifying.
Yeah.
Nature fires. We got one for your
call. You never know, because around with the desert and the West Coast, mm-hmm. you got tar pits and sand and weirdness.
Yeah. This is a weird show tonight, huh? Have you listened to the show tonight, BB?
I have been, yes. There have been individuals from all sectors checking in, all walks of life.
Yes.
Yes.
It's good,
though.
What's
the social media stuff, man?
Social media what the what?
What is this social media stuff, man?
I don't know what that means. I missed. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Oh, what is that stuff?
Social media?
Yeah.
And, you know, Twitter and all that. Malarkey.
Yeah, I do. I think I'm just being willfully ignorant.
Yeah.
Because you can make a living with it. I might recommend that Bucky check LinkedIn, because I'm seeing all manner of jobs like that, and things of that ilk will just be flying by him.
Yeah, that guy,
if you
Bucky.
Go in there.
What a kook that guy is. Crockpot, Mr. Crockpot.
Crockpot. So you fill a crockpot full of salami and cheese.
His kid will love it. Right?
That kid.
Yeah, loading up on the provolone and the salami.
Yep, all hot, no pocket.
Yes, all hot, no pocket. So what's going on? What are you up to, BB?
You know what I'm up to.
What's that?
Oh, you kind of do.
I kind of do.
Yeah. And I don't know how much running back and forth you're willing to do, but, you know, the Ents family has made you a proposition.
I know. I got a proposition from the family, from your family.
You did indeed, sir.
I need to wrap my head around it.
Yes?
And see what my schedule's like.
That's great, man. So, because you figure it out, I got you covered.
I know. I try. I'm trying to do things. I'm trying.
I hear you.
So what's good? What are you watching or listening to that you're enjoying, BB?
Gravy. Dave and I watch a plethora of British panel shows. QI. Mastermind. Only Connect. But you know how I feel about Victoria Corin Mitchell.
Yes. And these are all like egghead type shows.
Good heavens, no.
But no, but in the way that the comedy is smart, even on them.
Well, it's true. It is very smart. But when you got 8 out of 10 cats does Countdown, and, you know, they're trying to do math and word problems while sometimes there's naked body parts flying in their faces. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, I gotta get some stuff going like that. I gotta get on. I want to throw out a first pitch at a baseball game. I want to endorse a product. If I endorse this crockpot thing, if that goes through, I'll do that.
All right.
I'm not exactly spending the crockpot money before the check shows up, though. I don't know if this crockpot thing's going to work.
No, it sounds. I don't know. It's been around a long time, but it sounds a little fly by night at this point.
Then I got to get on some sort of like panel show, right?
Absolutely. I think they should be done over here as well as they're done over there. We've got smart, funny people on this side of the pond.
And we had At Midnight.
Yes, that's right. I know this is curious. You both, this is like stereo. Yes, At Midnight, not Dumbed Down.
I got to figure something out. I want 2008 to be 2018.
It was pretty good.
It was an all right year, 2008. You know what year is going to be better for me? 2018. I'm thinking right now.
I'm a believer. I did have a topic for you, or at least a question.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Would you rather be overexposed or overrated?
Overexposed means that you're doing a lot of stuff. So
I think overexposed or underrated.
I already know what underrated's like. That's where I know what that's like. I'll take overexposed. I'll try that on for size for a while.
All right, then. Yeah. I look forward to being sick of you real soon.
Yeah, get ready. I'm going to figure a few more things out. You're just going to be like, ugh. Because, look, Kevin Hart.
Oh, God.
This guy's in everything. He's everywhere.
He turned up on the first. Oh, Joel McHale is back. He's doing the old Talk Soup thing on Netflix.
Yeah. But did you see when Kevin Hart was trying to get on the podium for the Super Bowl?
No, I missed. No, I wasn't watching the. No.
It was like after the Super Bowl ended. He's a big Eagles fan because he grew up in Philly. So then this thing's over, and they're, like, out on the field, and he's, like, trying to get up on the podium where, like, the players are talking and stuff. It's just like, but you are not a football player. It's like you're just a famous person. It's like you shouldn't be up there. It doesn't matter
how much
they're
all remarkably tall, and he is remarkably not.
Yeah, but it's just like it doesn't matter who he is. It's just like. He doesn't, it's just like he's not a football, they won the Super Bowl, the hardest thing you can do to go all the way to winning the Super Bowl, and then like a guy who was like busy doing press for Jumanji while they were like doing the thing, he's going to walk up there and act like he did it too?
He's Papa John this year.
Yeah, he's the
Papa John.
He's
looking for someone to kiss.
He's the new Papa John. Now that Peyton Manning's gone, he's the new Papa John.
Bing, bing.
Yes. All right, baby. I'm going to wind this down. I might wind this down a few minutes early tonight.
All right, because I don't want you to get tuckered out. And that's what it's jet lag medicine, man. I want you to take it.
Yeah,
I want you to take care of yourself.
I was on the runway an extra three. It took me an extra 7 hours to get home from that flight a couple days ago. That was something else.
It's the worst time of year to come out here.
Yeah, but it was fine. It was fine. I'm here. I'm not complaining. I don't complain. In 2018, I think you'll notice a lot less complaining coming from me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Get your scorecard out. You'll see. There's a lot less complaining going on.
I will. I look forward to that.
All right, baby. I appreciate it. You have a great night.
Love you, mister.
I love you, too. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Yeah, so what's going on? I might wrap it up early tonight. I'm not at 100%, but I wanted to be here, do the show. Yeah, because that's what we do. We got that Netflix game going on that I had thrown out there, which was to, if you've got a Netflix DVD out, who has the longest one out still? And if you've had one laying around your house for years, send me a picture of the DVD with something that shows you still currently have it in your present day possession, and then send me a screen cap of the account that says when you received it. I might still have the longest one. I have one going back to 2010. Best Show artist Jeff Owen sent one from 2011. He's in second place. Who can beat me with a Netflix DVD rental they've had for just laying around their house? Who can beat me? The number 201-332-3484. Also working on a guest next week. Might be a good one. Might be a good one. Biggie. Might have a biggie on next week. We will find out. Yeah, maybe it's time to put this one in the books. Call it a little early. We'll be back. Build it back. Last 2 weeks have been a little rough, and I'm glad I'm back. And we'll keep it going. And yeah, we'll keep it going, right? What else are we going to do? All right, everyone. I'm saying goodnight. Thanks for listening. What should we hear on the way out? That's right. Why would he play more helium? Why? Well, I'll take this last call. You don't even have to screen it. Best Show, hi. Hello, hi.
Hi, it's Jennifer in Queens.
Jennifer in Queens. What's up, Jennifer?
How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. Well, I went to see Hello, Dolly tonight, starring Bernadette Peters.
How was it?
And I had a pretty great celebrity sighting while I was there.
How was the show first? How was the show?
The show was fantastic. It was so good. I cried. It was wonderful. The first time I ever saw it was when I was a kid, and my brother was one of the dancing waiters when he was in high school. Okay. So that was pretty great to see it with Bernadette Peters instead
That's
of my
awesome.
Brother.
Yeah. So who was the celebrity sighting?
Well, I walked into the theater with Andrea Martin.
Very nice.
And she was meeting her friend, Martin Short.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Marty.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
It's one of my favorite celebrity sightings ever, I think.
That should be. That's a fantastic one.
I had a talking Ed Grimley doll when I was a kid. But I didn't tell him that. I think no. That's kind of creepy, probably.
No, look. I think you played it the right way. You saw it. Did you say anything to them?
I did. I just said hello afterwards, and that was it.
That's enough.
I know. They looked like they were having fun, and I didn't want to interrupt them.
You played it just right.
Thanks.
I think that's just the right way to do it. You say, hey, and that's that.
Yep. I see you. I'm going to be on my way.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thanks.
Well done. All right. I'm going to say goodnight to you, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, good night, Tom.
Night. All right. On the way out, one more song from Helium. This comes from their collection called Ends With And, throwing together their various non-LP recordings from EPs and singles and whatnots. This is XXX. It's on Matador. Can't go wrong. Let's check it out, and I will be back next week, and I hope everybody's doing great, and we will see you then. Hopefully have a nice surprise guest in studio. All right. Bye.